Welcome to this morning's, we are opening today's Joint Committee on Tax Credits. Happy to have everyone here. I'm going to open House Bill 3671 for discussion. We have some changes. I know you're shocked. Did I say 71? It's 72. I'm going to close House Bill 3671 and open House Bill 3672. Sorry. Chris, staff, by the way, has worked all weekend on this, and our gratitude goes to them. Some people got weekends and some didn't. It is, as I'm sure you noted, a very complicated interworking piece of legislation. So I'm going to have Chris, our intention this morning is to go through this, sort of the changes, get everyone a chance to sort of digest what's in here. Time is very short. We aren't looking for any suggested major policy changes, but if there are tweaks in here that we need to know about, yes, you may pass it out. Please feel free to contact us this afternoon. And committee members, it is anything that you guys have on your minds we would welcome today. In the meantime, Chris, if you'd go through the changes.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
And I don't have a copy myself.
It's in your stack.
It's in my stack. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, there we go. Members of the committee, the amendment is in your stack. We've added a few sections and a few pages.
Shocked.
I guess kind of at a high level, some of the policy changes that are in here. I guess starting with the existing Betsy, Section 1 currently has the dual sunset, and this is for the conservation and renewable projects, not the manufacturing projects. They would have a dual sunset date of the application being received by May 12th, 2011, and having the pre-cert received by the end of June. And then most of the changes have been made to the new Connie and Jenny, but just kind of marching at a higher level through the credits, there weren't many changes to the biomass or any changes to the biomass or the fire insurance or the e-commerce zone or the rural enterprise zone. One change to the research and development was that language that was added in Section 8 that would disallow a deduction for amounts claimed as a tax credit. The intent there is to codify what the Department of Revenue is currently doing in terms of administering that tax credit. The film and video credit, one of the changes in here was that the credit would be sold via an auction as opposed to the current method. And there's some language that pulls in the Department of Revenue and with the Office of Film and Video to work out how that auction would be worked. The idea there is to maximize the dollars into the fund through the dollar cost of the credit as it's sold. Another small change there is that the reimbursements to local filmmakers is limited to $250,000 per year. And then moving into Jenny, which starts on Section 22. Section 12 adds language about the appropriation for the film and video.
There it is.
This is language
11.
That was in House Bill 2167, and it explicitly states that the Assembly has the option to appropriate funds, and if they do, then that would eliminate the need for the credit for that year. Page 14 is the Jenny. Some of the changes here are that the money would go into the Clean Energy Deployment Fund. This is a fund that hasn't yet been created. It's currently in House Bill 2960. As opposed to the original fund that was in there, the intent is to not commingle any of the funds, but to keep the funds separate. But the idea there was that this Clean Energy Deployment Fund was already created, so have the monies go into there, kind of an efficiency in terms of accounting. The credit would be sold by auction. similar to the film and video. These would, it would be, this is just those two credits would be sold via that mechanism. The other changes, I'm kind of going back and forth between section by section and notes I had that I have on the policy. I haven't had a chance to go through and find everything in all of the sections just yet. But other changes to the GenE are a per project cap of $250,000. The tiered system is eliminated for GenE with such a small program. Didn't seem to make sense to have a tier system. Co-generation projects were added back into the mix beginning with tax year 2013. And I think those were the, some of the highlights, so to speak, on GenE.
We didn't get wind in the definition.
In terms of the definitions of renewable energy, wind and landfill gas were intended to be in there.
What page are we on? Do you know?
This is page 18. On lines 15 through 17. And the intent was to include wind and landfill gas there.
Are they there?
They're not there.
Okay. And wind. Gas. So those will be added in the next. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so I think those are the highlights. There are changes to the definition of for the LEED for the building piece. The LEED on page 23, okay. Lines 19 through 29. That language was modified to include things like the REACH code and refer to nationally or regionally recognized building programs.
Comment on that, Madam Chair?
Yes, please.
It came to my attention, I was rereading this over the weekend and it didn't make it into this draft, that I think the way this is written, which I'm not sure was the intention, we can discuss this, was that the way it's written here, it would apply then these standards to any construction improvement or remodel. I think the intention was to continue the practice of the Department of issuing a CONI for projects that are seeking that certification under one of those programs or for new construction, as opposed to saying if any component part is remodeled, then the entire structure has to qualify for one of these programs. I don't think that was the intention, but might be how that's written. So we'll take another look at that, I think.
Exactly. And I think we need to be clear that the intent of this language is that You have to reach those standards, not necessarily get the LEEDs certification. It's the standards we are looking for, not necessarily the certification. So if you reach those standards, that's a qualifier, but it doesn't mean you have to apply for and get a platinum certification in this process. That's a cost saving. We're looking for the energy saving, not necessarily the certification. And I need that on the record because that is the language we're trying to get to here. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate where you're trying to get. Could you clarify for me how I understand the expenses and the delays that are involved with seeking certification. Who determines that the standards have been?
Department of Energy and in the case of REACH, these standards are listed, and I would assume it's through the Department of Energy that would say, yes, you have met these. The reason that we reference them is that they are known standards. We're not making up new ones, and that's the danger here of talking about those standards in statute. It implies that you have to get that certification. The reason that we're talking about them is that they are known, accepted industry standards that anybody can measure to. That's, I think, our policy goal, don't you think, Mr. Chair?
That's correct.
To give accepted industry standards so that the Department of Energy can measure whether you've reached them, but not to require certification. That's a choice that somebody else could make. We don't want that to drive that extra cost.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
If I could add one place to point to that, on page 27, in section 41, refers to DCBS Building Codes Division.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And pulling them into that process.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Elsewhere on the Connie's, on page 27, section 40 is the transferability of the credit. That was missed in the, we didn't have that in the first version. That's added here.
Transferability added.
Section 42 maintains the $10 million cap for certification cost.
Section
42 on page 28.
Okay.
That was the same in the original version.
Okay.
And the change in the lighting versus the ROI.
Oh, yes. And sorry for bouncing around, but on page 25, there's the definition of energy conservation project. Refers to a simple payback period of greater than 3 years, lines 29 and 30. That was a change from 2 years. And then the lighting was pulled out on page 26. It's lighting was in that list of ineligible equipment, and it got pulled from that list. The two items that got pulled from the ineligible list were the lighting modifications and the cogeneration projects. And again, cogeneration would be eligible beginning in 2013.
But it was
in,
yes.
Well, and in conjunction with those changes, on the bottom of page 25, the requirement for the simple payback period was increased from 2 years to 3 years.
In other words, the intent here is to put the cogen sort of on hold, leave it as a possibility in out years, mm-hmm. and the lighting modifications to make them of significant nature, not just changing out light fixtures and going up a step, but being lighting modifications that actually have an energy conservation sort of measurable that is significant enough to warrant this credit. That is our intention in here. Again, for the record. Thank you.
Okay. And I think throughout this there have been a number of wording changes and technical changes. I'm just trying to hit some of the bigger issues. On page 35 in section 49, the biennial cap was reduced from $40 million per biennium to $30 million per biennium. The intent there is trying to stick within the allowed budget and incorporate, address all of the other changes that are being made. And then I think that's it. For Connie, vehicles have been removed from everywhere from the conservation.
Driving them out?
on the transportation projects, which begin on page 36, this was clarified. The pieces didn't fit. Basically, there are two kinds of transportation projects. Transit providers and alternative fueling stations. And so those two, at a broad category level, those are the two types of projects that comprise all of the transportation projects. And each of them have a different tax credit amount and phase out schedule. On page 36, you see there in subsection 2, clarifies that if a pre-cert for a transportation project was received prior to July 1, 2011, they're still at the 35% credit level. And if it's a then 25% if it's after July 1st for tax year 2011. and then that's in paragraph B, and then starting on line 28.
It says 25.
That's 25. Yeah, these are the transit projects. If they get the pre-cert prior to July 1/11, they get a 35% credit. That's the existing program. Starting July 1st, that 35% is reduced to 25%. And then that's we see that on line 25. And then on line 28, it deals with tax year 12. It stays at 25%. And then flipping over to page 37, in tax year 13, it falls to 20%. And then in 2014, it falls to 15%. And then in 2015, it falls to 10%. And then it's gone.
Yes.
And I think, trying to read through it as quickly as possible, I think the intention was to separate out infrastructure for alternative vehicles to keep them at the 35% credit for the longer sunset as opposed to that ramp down.
Yes. And members of the committee, our intention here is using this vehicle for transit is seen as sort of untenable in long term, but transit has become it has been used extensively, and this is an off ramp, basically, is what our intention is.
And I'm for the alternative fuel infrastructure, I'm actually not seeing the 35% credit.
So we may have to find that.
Right.
Or clean that up.
Basically, there's a phase out for the transit and the alternative fuel infrastructure. There is not it's a 35% credit. There's no phase down, but it does have the January 1, 18 sunset date.
Sunset date. Okay. Any questions?
And on page 38, line 10, which is section 54, subsection 1 is and subsection 2 are those two different sunset dates. And then section 56, we get into the definitions.
Okay, got it. There we go.
And on page 39, the transportation services contract. And the transportation provider was intended to get at those transit folks, and we've been working on that definition. And I think the next few sections deal with the certification process. Those were largely unchanged. There were some changes. And then I think that's it for the tranny. Again, with respect to alternative fuel vehicles, it's just the infrastructure that would be eligible for the credit.
I think we found that.
Okay, it's on page 37, line 10, refers to the 35% for the infrastructure. It says fueling, alternative fuel.
Okay, there it is. Okay.
And then the last piece is the new version of the RETC. Here, again, similar to the Tawny vehicles, alternative fuel vehicles have been removed, but the infrastructure, the charging stations, the intent is to include them.
Although it looks like they've been taken out still here.
Yeah, it's still.
Which
on page 47, the first line, the removed language there, or related equipment. Now, that might be a definition, because if you take out by removing alternative fuel vehicle, just the phrase related equipment doesn't make much sense. So we were trying to move to a alternative fuel vehicle infrastructure definition. And I'm just now looking at this section of the bill for the first time.
And we are speaking here basically of the equipment you would need if you had to adjust in your home to accommodate fueling your electric vehicle, for instance, it would be an expense, a residential expense, and we are, we'll see how this technology takes off or not.
And one approach to this was to largely look at Senate Bill 688, which had many of these changes in there. The appliances are removed. That was in the same as the prior version. The furnaces should have been added back for the high-efficiency ones.
How do we define high-efficiency?
You have a rating of 94%. If you on page 60?
No. I thought we were going for higher than that.
No.
94% standard.
Well, 94% are on page 60, section 72 is a list of devices not eligible for the credit.
Right. Okay, there we go.
So it's 95% or higher are eligible. Another change here, the...
And furnaces, yes.
Well, I still need to think about it, but I think how the high-efficiency furnaces are included is by the exclusion of the 94%
or
less.
We need to double-check on that.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to double-check, see what the Energy Trust does on that, too, because they did something with furnaces, and I'd be interested to know what they did.
Another issue with the RETC was the idea of third-party installers, and there were a couple of definitions. Page 56 has one definition.
That may need a little work.
And currently it reads, well, there are 56 lines, 7 through 11. So that's different from the prior version. It may still need a little refinement.
Yes.
I think the intention here is to is not to require pre-certification for a family that wants to go out and contract with a solar installer to get a solar installation put on their roof, but rather to look at companies that are putting in multiple systems with third-party ownership. So we just want to read this and make sure that A here doesn't mean that just installation by a licensed solar company doesn't trigger the third-party requirement of getting a pre-certification. So we'll just have to take a look at that.
In corresponding language, or related language, on page 59, lines 25 through 30. But I think there is some more work that needs to be there to be done to get those to fit together. And at lightning speed, that's very...
Okay.
That didn't touch on every single change made.
Members of the committee, you've had a fun weekend.
The fun's over.
The fun's over. I would... it is, I think, our intention to refine this, to clean up where obvious things, to welcome input for technical things that we may have been missing, to get them in quickly, and to basically get this finalized and the numbers finalized. There may be some tweaking that goes around how some of the policy changes change some of the numbers within this, because we do have a budgetary constraint to be considered, and then to get this out hopefully tomorrow. Representative Benz.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I just want to mention I've been contacted by a number of folks regarding fish screens and the fact that this particular approach leaves them out, which would be relative of an agreement made many years ago in an effort to create more fish screens. The idea was the state would put in money, the landowner would put in money, and this will... it's a very small program, and it may be an oversight, it may be by design, but I would ask that the co-chairs take a look at that if they could.
Be happy to?
Absolutely.
Yes, Representative Brewer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Perhaps
it's my being a first-term legislator here, but if we could clarify for me, last week we looked at 3671-1, and then what we're looking at today is 3672-2. Can you clarify for me the hop in the bill numbers?
It's related to relating clauses.
Okay.
We actually put two relating clauses in to figure out which one would be most appropriate for this vehicle. We may end up using both.
Okay, but essentially then this 3672-2 is revised based on what we looked at last week. Okay, I just want to clarify that.
Yes.
May I ask some clarifying questions?
Sure.
And as I was trying to follow along with staff, I'm really only on page 24 in comparison, so I may have more as I go along. On page 4 for the R&D credit, section 5, I know that there's been some question as to the timing of the add back of the deduction. This is to add back the deduction that is equal to the amount of the credit claimed under the section, and I wanted to clarify for the record what that meant. If a taxpayer actually files for the claim or for the credit but is unable to use the credit in that year and the credit is subject to a carry forward, is that the year of add back of the deduction amount, or is it to be added back in the year that the credit is claimed? That the credit is utilized. So in the year of generation of the credit or the year of utilization of the credit?
Representative Brewer, I think the way it's written here is on the claimed version.
Claimed being the year generated?
Yes. The year that...
They claimed it.
That they go to, that the year that in which they incur the cost to claim the deduction, and when that deduction amount would be reduced by the amount of tax credit they're allowed to claim for the first time on that tax year.
Okay, generation regardless of utilization then. Just want to clarify.
Right, that's the way it's currently written.
It is also my understanding that this language has been, we are really putting in statute what has been practice. This is not a policy change so much as sort of a statutory affirmation of this is how it works.
Thank you. And on page 18.
We're not doing that. That would be good information.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for that clarification. On page 18, section 27, as I recall from my notes from last week, solar technology, we heard from some testimony that they were needing clarification that my notes say solar thermal should be included or is not included. Is that intentional to exclude it or...
Representative Brewer, the intent was to include on line 20 to generate electrical or thermal energy.
Okay.
That was the intent.
So that we'll check to make sure that gets back in.
Thank you. And that's all I have at this moment.
Okay, good calls. Anything else, members of the committee? Representative.
Just to call out, we can get way into the weeds later, Madam Chair, I'm sure we will, but it looks like some of the deletions that didn't seem to be applicable to, for example, the Jenny around long-term energy savings from a generation equipment are still in here and will probably need to come out.
Okay, what are you looking at?
There. Page 18, section 28.
Okay. This is now time to go pouring through this. Anything else from members of the committee? And believe me, you don't have to. You will welcome comments later in the day after you've had a chance to look at this, so don't hesitate. Representative Brewer, you had something else you noted.
Thank you. Again, half reading, half listening.
It's hard.
I understand. We had some discussion, and maybe it's been put back in here, about the reforestation tax credit. Has that been put back in here?
It is not in here.
And is that the liking of the committee? It's to keep it out.
We can have, as we will, the fish screening. We can have further discussion about that. Its fiscal impact is, of course... greater than the fish screening, which is very, very minimal. And that is the consideration.
And Madam Chair, I just want to remind the committee that we did get testimony that indicated that at least some of the companies that use that reforesting credit would do it anyway without the credit. We have that on the record.
Thank you. Anything else? Yes, Representative Benson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Representative Barnhart just pointed out to me the section for the film video credit on under Section 11, and is this the only point in this that we are utilizing that reserve bid sale device? Does it appear other places in this?
Representative Benson, it appears two places, the film and video and the Jenny. And the reason it's the idea behind those two is those are two credits that are pre-sold.
And follow up.
Yes.
So that's the only place that this device will work because I think it's a great device. Is this the first time we've tried this out?
Yes, it's the first time we've tried it, and part of the discussions there were the size of the programs. The film and video is $6 million a year in credits, and the Jenny is $1.5 million per year. And the nature of those credits is that the funds that are used is that the credits are pre-sold, so they're designed to be transferred intentionally. And so the focus was on those two to leave, and the policy discussions around the other credits extending into that I guess it was decided to focus on these two.
Yeah. Follow up.
Yes.
I'm just hoping it works really well and we can utilize it.
So are we.
Yes. Thank you.
Sometimes it's aspirational. Representative Barnhart, did you have...
Representative Benz took the words out of my mouth. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Juan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In that same regard, I think we'd want to pay close attention to make sure that the auction device does not become a barrier to entry of competition.
Well put. A good point.
Following up on that, page 9, section 11A requires a report to the Assembly in the February session.
Thank you.
Yes, Representative Brewer.
Thank you again. I'm just going back to my notes, and I wish I took more notes, actually. Again, landfill gas, is that included in the renewable energy section as a renewable energy?
It is supposed to be. It isn't in there. We noted that it needs to be added.
Thank you. And then I'm sure I have one more. Transportation credits, Madam Chair, we heard testimony that they felt that it wasn't clarified that the credits could be sold in the bill. That was testimony I'd heard. Has that been clarified in here?
Transferability. I don't know.
I'm glad I asked. Thanks. And I think that is, by the way, my last question at this moment.
We got in.
I can say the intent, Representative Brewer, the intent was to include the transferability. And I am quickly thumbing through it right now to see if I can point you to a section. But the intent was to include the transferability.
And we will. Now that it's on the record.
Thank you.
Other things?
Section 57.
Page 39. It appears that he's in there. Okay.
Oh, excellent.
I think we have... is there anything further from the co-chairs? I think that we have everyone on notice to read carefully, come technical fixes. We are not in a position, I think, to make major policy changes within this at this point, but we accept criticism and comments. But the technical fixes would be need to get to us promptly. If we've missed something that in the department too. So with that, I'm going to close.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
If
no,
I could just remind people with your changes, I think just to make sure that they get to the central location on the agenda, at the top of the agenda, there's an email address, iro.exhibits. So you're free to...
I'm sorry, LRO.
LRO.
Yeah, I needed more sleep. LRO exhibits, and so you can, if you send them to us, just make sure the LRO gets a copy of whatever you send in.
Because trust me, they will get it promptly anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
And
yes.
I think you mentioned this, Madam Chair, but the intention, hopefully, right, is to get, assuming that we can make mostly technical changes here, to solicit those as quickly as possible and to get that into the next drafting round by later today. So just want to be sure that the intention is out there that we're going to get moving on this.
And remember that the numbers piece has to go with this, and there may be the numbers might drive some adjustments in this because we are constrained by budget directives from Ways and Means. Okay? With that, I will close our public hearing on House Bill 3672 and adjourn the Tax Credits Committee. Thank you.
Good job, Madam Chair.